EOH has endured a difficult first half. Its share price was massively sold off following allegations of government tender irregularity and what it describes as adverse, unfounded media coverage. And its results reflected headline earnings per share from continuing operations down 24%, and has also reported a drop in operating profits. So joining me to discuss the numbers as well as the group's strategy going forward is Group CEO Zunaid Mayet. Zunaid, thank you so much for your time today. So it seems that EOH went very quickly from being the darling of the JSE to falling into very bad times. How do you account for this shift?
Thank you, Bronwyn. I think our trouble started about a year ago, and it started when there was an article published about one of our directors, and the article was largely filled with insinuation and innuendo. At the time, we didn't take it seriously, but we engaged the media house, and I have to say the media house was very fair and very gracious, and after a protracted engagement process, I think lasting almost 6 months, they were fair enough to publish a correction. I think the challenge though was that it took 6 months to arrive there, and the period during that 6 months, I think, created lots of doubt in the minds of many of our stakeholders. It also provided other people in the market to use the doubt and publish other things based on the same story, which was really damaging. And I think having come through that process, and it was a really extensive engagement process with them, where as an organization we were completely open, we were completely transparent, and I think at the end of it, notwithstanding it took us 6 months, at the end of it I think we were vindicated.
Were there other factors to include in the woes that you had, or are you laying it squarely on that media coverage, because it's a tough macroeconomic environment that you faced as well?
Sure. So I think a combination of things. I think we don't for a moment blame the media. I think that would be inappropriate. I think it came at a time in our country where there was lots of noise in the media, and as a society, and we've become, I think the levels of sensitivity are at an all-time high. So any insinuation of any wrongdoing seems to be viewed in a very dim light, and I think we happened to be collateral damage in that time. I think this was obviously compounded by a market and an economy that was pretty pedestrian, with very slow growth rates, very little growth in the market. The broader business environment from a confidence perspective, I think, was pretty low. So I think all of this, a confluence of factors, I guess, sort of, maybe we were caught up in a perfect storm, if you must, yeah?
So that's the context. Let's drill down into the details of today's numbers. You've unwound the acquisition of the GTV group of companies after the seller, Keith Keating, was accused of securing contracts by bribing police officials. That's had a significant impact on your results, with a once-off hit of around 400 million rand. Sorry. And this bringing into question just how stringent your due diligence processes are.
Yeah. So, yes, we unwound the GCT group at the end of last year. The impact to our income statement was about 400 million rand. What we also did, though, because of the allegations, we brought in ENS to conduct a detailed fact-finding review for us. In fact, ENS's mandate with us incorporated three things. One was the fact-finding review. The second was to look at all of our public sector business, as well as assist us in any new public sector business moving forward, to provide some sort of independent oversight, and in the process also strengthen our processes from a risk management and a governance perspective. The third thing that ENS are doing is they're also helping us from a regulatory compliance perspective, so ensuring that our compliance framework is not only compliant with South African legislation, but international legislation, in particular the UK and the US. So we've had ENS do that bit of work for us, and it was important for us, firstly, to check whether the allegations were true or if there was any evidence to suggest that there's any truth to the allegations. The second was, and far more importantly, was to assess if there's any exposure to EOH. Thankfully, I think that's come back and said the exposure to EOH is limited or minimal. They've not found any evidence to substantiate the allegations. So, you know, we can move on now. Talking to your question around due diligence, we've got a pretty comprehensive due diligence framework, acquisitions framework within the group. On the GCT group in particular, we had external help and support from one of the big consulting audit firms that worked with our team on the due diligence. So I guess what you're implying is, did we miss anything in the due diligence? I don't think so. Having said that, though, as part of ENS's mandate, we've asked them to look at our due diligence processes and suggest any improvements, any strengthening, any gaps that we have that need to be covered. So that's part of what we're doing with ENS as well.
Let's take a look at your public sector work. Now, in the past, FD John King has consistently said that EOH has been very proud of that segment. But looking at today's numbers, it's taken a bit of a knock.
Yeah.
So why the change there?
So, look, I think, again, I think the context from a country perspective is important to consider. I think we have seen the national fiscus come under tremendous strain over the last year. And I think as a result, suppliers to the public sector are feeling that. The public sector is only about 17 to 18% of group revenue, but it does have an impact when it doesn't work. The impact in the public sector has been multifold. I think first we've had lots of delays on projects and contracts that across the board, and I think it's a function of where we were as a country. The other thing we've also had, and it's a far bigger problem, is payments from the public sector. Historically, the public sector has always taken extended terms when compared with the private sector, but that's become even worse, right? Having said that, I think what is pleasing is that given the change in the country, we're already seeing a change in the behavior of our clients, and in the public sector in particular, and that's really comforting.
So that's some of the detail, but in the lead up to this chat that we're having, some of the analysts told me that there's been criticism leveled against EOH that there's not enough detail in the financials to give investors security. Yeah. So for example, you haven't indicated how much margins have fallen, you know, that strategy where you sacrifice margins in order to retain clients. So are you taking that criticism to heart? Are you going to be giving more detail?
Absolutely. So today in the presentation, I went into a fair amount of detail and I talked specifically to what impacted a decline in earnings. All right. Now, the first thing was we talked about a margin sacrifice. Now, given the context we were operating under, I think it's important to understand the engagements with our customers. Where historically we'd be engaging with our clients on contract renewals, contract negotiations, annual price increases, the conversations now were turning to what's the noise around EOH and what's happening here. And I think everybody at the front end of the business has had to endure that kind of conversation across many of our clients. And all of a sudden now, you're not on the front foot anymore, but on the back foot. And top of mind is, I can't lose this client, right? So we came up with a very deliberate customer focus and client retention strategy that says, no matter what the noise is, we're not going to lose any of our customers. as a result of that, we've had to be a little compromising, and we've had to give away some margin, or we've had to be more accommodating from a pricing perspective. I think importantly is we've not lost any material, any major clients. We've not lost any major contracts, right? But the impact has been a 1.7% differential on our gross margin. That translates to almost 150 million rand, about 147 million rand. That's the impact on the gross margin. The other impact, I think, is the impact on expenses, operating expenses. Now, again, given the noise, given what we've had to deal with in the last 6 months, I got to tell you, it's expensive to deal with stuff like this. We've had to employ lawyers, consultants, ENS doing forensic work for us, PR people, IR people. We've had transaction advisors to assist us with our strategic partnership with Levache, which we'll touch on a little bit later. But all of that added up. So our operating expenses increased by about 23%. More than it should have. That's about 70 million rand additional cost. So, you know, you take that 70 million rand and you take the 147 million rand, or round it up to 150, that's about 220 million rand, which should have found its way to EOH's bottom line. Had that been the case, our earnings would have been well over a billion rand as opposed to about 780 million. So I think that gives some context. We understand, we've analyzed exactly where it's happened, and we're certainly confident that over the next 6 months, we'll be able to recover some of that, we'll be able to normalize margins. And obviously, when we talk about the strategy and the implementation of the strategy, that's going to bring us a whole lot of efficiencies into the business and the ability to reduce costs as well.
So is all the bad news done now? Are we looking at a second half that is the EOH of old?
Certainly, we certainly believe so. I think we've navigated through a pretty difficult period. We've navigated the worst of the storm. And I think now we're focusing on our business. We're focusing on our clients, and we're focusing on our technology partners and our people, right? So we're not dealing with stuff that doesn't add value to our business. And that's important.
Zunaid, let's hit pause on that discussion. After the break, we'll be discussing the group's strategy going forward, so stay with us. Welcome back. Still with me is Group CEO of EOH, Zunaid Mayed, and we're discussing the company's strategy. As ahead of the break, we were discussing the company's first half results. So, Zunaid, you are expecting a better second half. All the bad now behind you. What can we look forward to in the next 6 months, particularly the split that you've said is coming? You have the EOH brand and then a new division being set up. So what's the rationale behind that split?
So I guess it's important to contextualize it, right? We've had the benefit of significant growth over the last 20 years. We've grown into a very diverse organization with great skills, great capabilities, a very comprehensive portfolio, a very diverse portfolio, in fact, diversity across a multitude of dimensions. But with that diversity comes a fair amount of complexity as well. And I think what we're looking to do, firstly, is to simplify the complexity. The second is we want to ensure that we establish an appropriate platform for growth for the business. All right. And being a large, diverse organization, a wide organization, a broad organization, agility is starting to become a challenge. And we've always prided ourselves on being responsive and flexible to our customers' needs and demands. Also, I think from a span of control perspective, we want to ensure that we've got appropriate span of control within the business. So that we have adequate and appropriate oversight and governance within the business. That is becoming far more important in the current market, and we're quite pleased with that. And I think the last consideration is around identity. Today, given our diversity, it's very difficult to define who we are, right? So we see a great opportunity to bring some clarity to the EOH brand on the one hand, but also to give a clear identity to other parts of the business where it's needed. So that's sort of the backdrop to why the strategic rationale. But ultimately, it's about appropriately positioning the business and the various parts of the business for its next wave of growth.
You said this new company will focus on acquisitive growth largely. How are you going to fund that? Will that be solely through the deal with Lebashe Investments, which gives you around 3 billion rand to play with?
Correct. So we've got two parts to the business. Of course, the one is the integrated business, the EOH branded business. And that is a business that has the most comprehensive portfolio in this space in the market as compared with our peers. That business has a great opportunity to take an integrated value proposition to the market, and it's a business that will be more and more integrated. We can have great conversations with our customers, CIO customers, that ensures we're able to offer them wall-to-wall technology and services and cover pretty much the full ambit of a CIO's domain. The other business, NewCo, is a business that is highly specialized in a number of domains. So the ability for these businesses to integrate is limited, right? Because they are specialists in particular domains. These domains are either industries or particular disciplines in the market. What we do realize, though, is we have the ability to grow in each one of these domains. And there are a multitude of them, from a multitude of industry verticals to a whole host of disciplines in the market. So opportunity for growth is certainly both organic as well as acquisitive. From a funding perspective, it's great that we have the Lebashe partnership on the horizon. It's certainly going to give us a significant war chest where needed to fund large growth initiatives.
The new leadership at EOH, well, not really new, but you're getting Asha Bobot back as non-executive chairman there. Why is Bobot's appointment in the best interest of the company right now?
So Asha is the founder. He's got history in the business, and he's got a great understanding of the business and how the business has evolved. The group has grown under his leadership over the years, and I think the greatest asset that Asha has is his wisdom. I mean, he tends to view things in a completely different perspective to us sometimes, and he looks at things from a different perspective, and having him as a sounding board, him as a mentor, providing strategic guidance is something that I think will benefit the group.
You talk about him being a mentor and a sounding board, but could Bobot's return make your job difficult? How confident do you feel that you as CEO can go out there and make decisions that need to be made?
Look, Asha and I have worked together for many years, so we understand each other, we know each other, and I think we have a great understanding of how we take things forward, and we've always been in the way we've worked together, we've got a consensus building type engagement. So I don't foresee any difficulties with that.
Sinead, we look forward to catching up with you at the full year results to see how this all unfolded for you during the second half. Sinead Mayet is CEO of EOH.